This is The Immigrant View, a podcast for immigrants by immigrants. Welcome to the show. The Immigrant View is brought to you by immigrantnetworks.com.
Button. Hello and welcome to The Immigrant View with Io. Hope you're having a lovely day. I'm excited to be here with you today. I hope your day is going well. Hope you've had some time to reflect, some time to think. And one thing I'd like to ask of you as well as we get started on the podcast today is if you can go and please kindly review the podcast or click on the link and just share with someone or at least write a few words about the podcast in the channel that you're listening through. That really helps to move the podcast up in terms of rankings and gives an opportunity for other immigrants to see it, to know it, and it requires you recognizing and identifying it. So please, if you can just do that for me, I would really appreciate it. Well, let's get to our conversation for today. We have a very special person here. The first time I got to connect with her, I was like, my toes were tingling as we had our conversation and she shared her passion, the things she's doing. She shared her story with me. I found this video online and I want to play it first so that people get to hear you first. And then I'll introduce who this person is. So let me quickly play this clip. I hope people can hear it. Okay, my computer is at. Okay, so here we go. Let me try to play it for you.
But that never stopped me from dreaming. So now when Sosa came to see me at City Hall, and she was talking about how much she really, really appreciated walking into City Hall and not seeing any black people and coming over to my office and being the only black counselor actually in the whole region, in the Fraser Valley region. I can't help but look at it and say, that homeless child is now sitting at home, is now sitting in City Hall and running the budget for the whole city.
All right, I got to clap there too. I got to jump in and clap there. From being homeless with family in Zimbabwe to now in a city as a counselor, handling the budget and managing the budget for that city, which is just so exciting. That's a Hollywood story right there. So who exactly am I talking about? I have Trish Mandewo joining us today on the conversation. She immigrated to the United States at the age of 18 in pursuit of her higher education, eventually came to Canada in 2009. We're so glad to have her here in Canada. She is, how do I describe Trish at this point? Trish, you go beyond just, what can I call it? You go beyond just politics. You are in politics. You are in business and so many other areas. So who exactly is Trish? She's a city councilor in a city of, I hope I say this properly, Coquitlam. She's been a councilor since 2018. She's the founder and CEO of Synergy on Boards Consultant Group as well. She is also a mentor in residence at Simon Fraser University. She is also the co-founder of Emeritus. Tri-Cities Women's Collaborative Hub, and so much more. You know, I'm going to leave the rest, and we're just going to focus on those for now. How do you do all this, Trish?
I'm a Wonder Woman. First, I wanted to correct myself on the video you played. I said the homeless girl. I should have said the houseless.
The houseless. Okay, you did share about that earlier on in the story. If you can share that part, the difference, how that works in Zimbabwe.
Yes. So I grew up in a high-density area in Zimbabwe, and my family did not have much. My father was in and out of jobs. he would get contract jobs, and sometimes he would go for months at a time without a contract. And without working meant no food, meant, you know, and the way that the housing there would work is you pay the municipality. It was like a land lease. So you had to pay the municipality in order to be there. If you went for months without paying, they would come and lock you out and just throw everything that you own outside. Wow. So we would go for weeks sometimes, just outside. But the naive little me, I thought we were camping, because my dad would put our blankets underneath the table outside on the lawn where all our belongings would be. And we would go, and my sister and I would go under the table, and then he'll put tarp around it. So I thought we were camping. So I only noticed that we were houseless when I got my first award as a business owner here in Canada, here in Vancouver. And I was preparing my speech, and I called my sister, who is late now, and I said, "Did you know that we were homeless? You know, all those times when we were sleeping outside?" And she goes, "You're just now noticing that." Yep, I thought we were camping. It's all about perception, right?
And yeah,
happened many times in my childhood.
The resilience of our parents. I remember once we were getting robbed in Nigeria, and these like 4 or 5 men came in with guns and, you know, locking our, you know, family up. And they came into the room where I was. And of course, they had the guns to my mom's back. And, you know, I would never forget, if we find any money in this house and you're lying to us, we're going to kill you. That was what they said to my mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like probably 8, 9 years old at this point. And they had a gun to my head too. And I'll never forget, with a gun to her head and to my head, my mom calls me. I look up at her and she starts to crack jokes and she's smiling and laughing the whole time. She's smiling, looking at me, cracking jokes. I guess, I mean, looking back now, she's trying to calm me down.
Yes.
Because I'm shaking out of fear. Mm-hmm. And she is becoming the man, the woman, everything of the house, the protector, the provider, all in one. And literally that 30-minute piece of just, "Hey, Ayo, what's this?" She's laughing with a gun to her head. And they just threatened that they're going to kill her. You know, and, you know, they're tearing up the house, throwing things all over the place. And she just kept looking at me. And she's like, "Everything's going to be okay. How are you doing? Do you have an exam tomorrow? You know, what class do you have tomorrow?" And I'm like, what is wrong with this woman?
I know.
But the resilience of our parents.
That was brilliant, though.
Yeah, brilliant.
Because now the memories you have of her doing that, right?
Yes.
Instead of having those terrifying memories, so that's beautiful.
Yeah. So you were sharing under the tarp, homeless or houseless at that point. Yeah, and then I guess as time goes on, at the age of 19, you leave Zimbabwe for the U.S. Can you share your immigrant story with us? Why U.S. and then Canada?
Yeah, so going through what I was going through growing up and not having much really pushed me to excellence. I was one of those straight A students, and I knew I had a purpose, and I knew, you know, in order to change the narrative, I had to get educated. And my father was a very well-studied, very knowledgeable and wise man. And my mom also was smart in her own way. And so they always pushed me to be the best that I could be. So I set my eyes to go to medical school because, you know, when I grew up, the best profession was to be a doctor. And doctors seemed to do well. It was either doctors or lawyers or pilot. Those were the three. So I set my mind to be a doctor. So yeah, so I left Zimbabwe and went to Oklahoma. I applied to 3 universities, and I got the response from Oklahoma Baptist University first. And, you know, the minute it came, off I went. But I tell the story also that even the money to pay for the ticket, we didn't have. My whole family had to be going to everybody we knew, borrowing, you know, pennies to raise the money for me to get the airplane ticket. And we managed to do it. And off I went. And I knew that this was the beginning of a beautiful journey. And this was the beginning of changing the narrative for my family.
Oh,
but
that
you, but you asked a question. I don't think I answered your question.
I don't remember anymore because what you said is just amazing. Whenever Trish talks, my toes tingle. Like, this is awesome. I don't remember what I asked you. I don't remember my next question.
That's good. Both of us don't remember. So that's great. We'll just go with the flow.
So you eventually moved from US to Canada. Can you walk us through that story? Why that decision? And looking back, how has that decision been like for you so far?
Yeah, so it's funny you ask that because when I meet a lot of immigrants in Canada, they think the ultimate place to be is in the US. So, you know, so when I tell them that my journey went to US and then from US to Canada, they're mesmerized by that. They go, why would you leave US? Because for many, it's the land of milk and honey. Mm. But I was in the US, I did the whole professional, I was in the medical field, I was in microbiology, embryology, and I became a business owner there. But I just never felt like I was at home. That belonging was always, always missing. So when I turned 40, my head started spinning and I said to my husband, either we go back to Zimbabwe or we find somewhere else to go because I just am not feeling like I am where I need to be. So we explored everything. We're like Australia. I was looking in Australia. I was looking South Africa. And then I ruled out and I said, I'm not going back to Zimbabwe because I just knew, you know, with the way that things are there, that I'll be in trouble and probably I'll get killed for speaking my mind. So my husband came to Canada for a job, for a short job. And he said, when he came here, he said, you need to come see Vancouver. And I'm like, why would I come to Canada? Right? And he said, you need to come. So lucky enough, his company had a policy where I could come visit. So I did come visit. And just fell in love with Vancouver. I just, when I was landing, I'm like, this is where I want to be.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and you asked how the transition had been. When I came to Coquitlam, when we ended up coming to Coquitlam and my family, we all played tennis.
Okay.
Joined the tennis club and just started going around the city. And I remember the very first grocery store that we visited was Save On Foods, about 5 minutes from my house now, and going there to buy groceries and then meeting the mayor because there was a barbecue. It was in June. So there was a barbecue outside and the mayor is coming and he's wearing a kilt and he starts greeting everybody and he comes and he greets us. And I said, oh, hello. And he goes, yeah, I'm the mayor of the city. And I'm going, the mayor is out at the grocery store and shaking people's hands and helping raise funds for this organization. And I said, this is cool. I had lived in Oklahoma for many years and had never, you know, met any politician out in the community engaging with people. And I'm like, this is cool, right? And I told him, I said, oh, one day I'll see you in City Hall. And that was in 2009. So yeah, so the change was so impactful to where here I felt like the people were welcoming. I felt like I was part of the community and it felt like home, you know, a home away from home, I should say, right? So that was the difference.
I love that. I love that. Thanks for sharing. And I want to just use that opportunity to throw in for immigrants that are listening. You know, when you move over here and if your first city is not for you, you are free to try other cities out depending on your financial situation, of course, and whatever your arrival status and those types of things. But I think I've had conversations with people where, you know, they go to Toronto and they don't enjoy the city. They want something else. And I'm just like, you have all of Ontario, you know, to play with. And there's so many cities from the tiny towns to the huge ones. Go visit, go talk to people, go meet the counselors and meet with their leadership and just talk. And You'd be shocked. A mayor of a city wanted to have lunch with my wife and I because we're thinking of moving to their city once. Mm-hmm. So people are open and looking for people to come in. And I just thought to throw that in there. So you shared earlier on, you met with the mayor or you were at that that retail store and the mayor was there and you said, I'll see you at City Hall. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about City Hall. Why was City Hall something that you wanted to be a part of? You eventually became a counselor. Would love to know why and would love to hear your story around that.
Yes, so that goes actually deeper into my childhood in the sense that even though we didn't have much growing up, my mom was very political. My dad was political in the sense that he was very well versed with politics. You could go to him with any question and he would answer it. But my mom was like, yep, I know that, but I want to get into the action. She was the one that you'd find as the chair of this committee. And, you know, she's in that committee. She was very much community minded. So I learned a lot from her. But what I saw was a lot of the opportunities that came from her came from a city councilor who was the representative for our area. She would be like, oh, this is happening. Or I'll go to Mr. Nyandoro. That was his name. So he really was that person that would look out for the community and that cared for the community. And, you know, I saw value in that. And the other thing too is looking at the policies of how cities are run and how, you know, how we feel in the communities, it all comes to the leadership. So I always said, you know, I aspire to be at the table where I can make the decision and where I can set the tone of what kind of a city we have. And I knew that in order to do that, I needed to set my goals to get into government. And lower government to me was more appealing because it's the one city council, you're right in the community. This is the first level of government. This is where you really get to meet the community. And so I set my goals to get there.
Wow, fantastic. What would you say for those that are interested in going in that direction? Based on what you've learned and experienced, what was the short snippet? I know I'm asking you for a long-term plan, but then I'm asking you to answer in 2 minutes. But what would you say? Okay, immigrant is interested in politics. How can they go about it?
Get immersed in the community. What I see with immigrants is when they come in, we tend to stay in silos. It's like, oh yeah, I know these people from my country, or I know these people from Africa or from India. And people stay in silos, right? Mm. And when you stay in silo, you are not well versed with what's going on around you. So one thing that I did when I came in, you no matter whether it was business, I was a business owner. So if you went to the Chamber of Commerce, I was there. You know, I was passionate about women. So if you went to women's organizations, I was there. I was passionate about immigrants. So if you went to immigrant events, I was there. Right. So I immersed myself fully into the community, not to mention from hobby side, I love tennis. So if you went to the tennis court, I was there and I got into the board for that as well. Right. So you immigrants need to get out of those silos and get to explore their community. There is so much richness that comes when you expand your circle of influence. And now I'm seeing some that are lifting their hands to say, yeah, I want to get involved in politics. And my first question is always, how big is your circle of influence? Mm. Right? Because you can't one day just wake up and say, yeah, I want to run for city council, because I will ask you, can you do the mapping of your circle of influence? Sit down and do that map. How big is that circle? Mm. And if that circle is not big enough, you're not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So I tell people that want to run later to start today to really increase that circle, because that's the circle that's going to help you when you decide you want to move forward.
Fantastic. I love that. Thanks for sharing. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Even when I was reading your LinkedIn profile, I was getting overwhelmed. Like you are you also teach at a university? I don't I don't think I saw
that. I'm a mentor in residence, or an entrepreneur in residence. So I work with the incubator at Simon Fraser University, and those are the things that I love. So pretty much what I'm doing is my journey as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, I am just passing the knowledge to the people that are starting their businesses today as a mentor and as an entrepreneur in residence, right? And by the way, you do get paid for passing your knowledge like that, because we are all knowledge keepers. So universities see the importance of that, and they bring us in for our expertise so we can help the upcoming and the startups so that they don't make the same mistakes.
Fantastic. But how do you do all these things? You're on board of tennis, you're a counselor, you own your own business, you're a mentor in residence, and I'm sure there are other boards that you've not mentioned.
I've been on more than 20 boards.
By the way, Nick Nurani, who we've also interviewed prior to this, was like that as well. He was on like 13, 14 boards or something. How do you all have the time to balance and do all of that?
So people don't understand what board work is.
Mm.
When you're on a board, you are there to govern, and you are there to ask questions. So
you're not on the operations side. You're
not operating. You are doing governance. Mm-hmm. So if I have the opportunity to go improve an organization's strategy and their overarching strategy by sitting there for 1.5 hours, most boards are between 1.5 and 2 hours.
Once
if I can
a month.
Go there, not even once a month, most of my boards are quarterly.
Mm.
Right? If I can go there for 2 hours quarterly and ask the questions that will inform the policies and inform the work that the organization is doing, you probably can watch a Netflix movie in 2 hours, and I am making the difference in those 2 hours.
I feel that
is time very well spent. And it's not like it's demanding of my time to where I'm going there weekly. No, governance is a total different ball game. Very fulfilling, if I may add, and very life-changing too.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm not spending any extra time than someone else who watches TV. I don't watch TV much. So it's just how we choose to spend our extra time.
Right. Okay, lastly, I would say, what would you say your advice for immigrants? Newly coming in, settled down. I know a few that listen, and they're not even here yet. That's still part of their plan, and their PR is still being processed. How can they hit the ground running fast and being able to just set themselves apart?
Yes. My first thing is stop labeling yourself as a victim or as don't label yourself, and make that choice when you get on that plane to come. If you're coming into Canada and you get here, decide and make up your mind that this is going to be your home. Because what I see with most immigrants is they've got one leg here in their new country and one leg still back from the country where they're coming from. So when you're split like that, it's difficult for you to make a decision to really immerse yourself, because you want what you don't have. Whichever country you're coming from, you're always going, oh, if only I could go to this country. And then you get here and you're going, if only I could be back there. If you're split like that, you really won't make the strides going forward. So my suggestion is come in, embrace your new country, and ask what you can do for your new country and not what your country can do for you. I know this statement is not new, but it's so true, right? What is it that you can give to your new country? What ways, right? And don't only commit to doing the 8-to-5 job where you just go and you get paid and you wait for somebody else to make the change for you. You can play a role in how, you know, your city, your country goes forward. And, you know, you can ask yourself, what's within me that I can give? What ways can I give? And you will find that through giving, a lot of opportunities will come to you. And my favorite saying is that you haven't started living until you start giving.
Powerful.
And that's an original one, because I truly believe in that.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you. This is wonderful. I'm always inspired whenever I talk to you. When I need a dose of inspiration, I got to call Trish so I can get my dose for the week.
Anytime.
How can people reach you if they have questions, thoughts, they want to connect with you?
The easiest way to get me is through social media. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So they can go to LinkedIn. They can find me under Trish Mandewo, T-R-I-S-H, last name M-A-N-D-E-W-O. And that's the same name that I use across all the social media platforms. So Facebook or LinkedIn, I'm very active. And I'm a little active on Twitter and on Instagram. But either way, if they send me messages, even private messages, I do respond. And I welcome anyone who has any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Why don't you do us a favor and share this podcast with a friend or colleague? The Immigrant View is brought to you by immigrantsnetworks.com.
Hi, I'm Nick Narani, founder and CEO of Immigrant Networks. Listen, if you're an immigrant or an international student looking to find a job and expand your network in Canada, Immigrant Networks is for you. Immigrant Networks, we say, networking to get working. It is a community built by immigrants just like you to help you overcome one of the biggest challenges that immigrants have when they come here, and that is finding and retaining a job. Visit our website today and get matched within days with someone from your profession and learn and grow. Immigrant Networks, networking to get working.
Music provided by bentsound.com.